We're glad. Yes, thank you. You're clapping already. We're glad you're with us. Man, we have a great day. We had a great first service. We're glad you're going to be with us today. We say it every week and we mean it. No one's here by mistake. You're here by design. So no matter why you thought you came, really what we want to do is just say, man, put away all the burdens of your heart, the blessings right now, and just focus on the Lord. We can't create worship. You hear us say that all the time. We don't have the ability to create worship. Creation, worship comes is created within you. Hopefully today it's the overflow of your heart as we worship together and that you express that and you have joy with us as we worship together. And so as we come in this moment, we're really asking God just to open up the floodgates of heaven. We're asking God to open up the floodgates and just bless us today, but not just bless us here, but change us so that when we walk out of here, we're different than when we walked in, knowing who we are, knowing whose we are, and living in light of that. Would you stand with me as we begin prayer this morning, before we begin singing? Just stand with me and let's pray as we begin. Father, as we stand before you now, we come, we pray that our hearts will be right for worship. We pray that it's the overflow of our life. We pray that as you stand here right now that, God, we will give you free reign in the next few minutes that we're together. May we understand that you love us and care for us and you want to minister to us today in every need, in every way. But I pray that we will come being fully engaged this morning, that we will put away the things that will distract us and that in our hearts and our minds, we'll be fully engaged in worshiping you and listening to your word. Thank you for this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Springs of life, you alone can shine.
this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. We got a couple of announcements for you guys here. I ain't even read my own writing. Okay, for any of you, that are part of our worship team up here in the back sound media, there's a new worship schedule that's out from September to December. It's out on the front table out there, or it's always posted on the sound booth door in the back, so you can go check out when you're on. There's a children's meeting, so if you're involved, toddler, nursery care, it's right after second service, going to be in the back room over there. If you're part of that, then know after the service, make your way over there. Also, there's a marriage class, too, that Vince Denny is putting on, and it's going to start after Labor Day, and it's going to be at the 9 o'clock hour. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to Vince or Vonda about it, and there's sign-ups out front. So I encourage you guys, you don't have to be like, oh, my marriage is, No, but you're probably going to learn a lot of really great things. So I encourage you all to go ahead and sign up for that. Mira, amigo. Is that right? That's not right, is it?
Look.
Ven para acá, amigo. Sorry, buddy.
Un anuncio. Estaremos empezando una life group en español este próximo mes de septiembre. Va a ser los miércoles a las 6:30 aquí en Lathrop, en la casa de la señorita Doris, para las que no la conocen. Bueno, ella la ven anda por toda la iglesia. Pero bueno, si quieren inscribirse el próximo domingo, voy a tener una lista ahí enfrente para que puedan poner su nombre y para que puedan involucrarse en un grupo. Sí, por favor, gustaría ver a muchos. Yo sé que muchos de ustedes no están en un grupo y me gustaría verlos en nuestro grupo. Gracias. Go ahead, please stand and don't greet somebody, meet somebody. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please complete your conversations to their completion. Make your way back to your seats. Woo-hoo! Remain standing as we continue in worship this morning, singing Beautiful One. Spoken move. soul must sing. My soul must sing. My soul must sing. Beautiful. My soul must sing. My soul must sing. My soul must sing. Beautiful. You may have a seat.
Amen. What does it mean to wait on God? It's a question I challenge you to ponder on this morning. Because waiting on God simply means to rest. And I don't mean the kind of rest that, you know, we think of rest as taking a break. You know, just kind of chilling, taking it easy. But resting is in God is trusting in Him. It's actually an action, more of an action word. And while you're trusting Him and resting in His promises, you're doing His works. You're about God's business. It requires patience and anticipation that God will accomplish everything that He's promised you. As we wait on the Lord, He comforts, teaches, and He empowers us. In this next song, we sing about waiting on God in total and complete surrender. With our hands lifted up and our hearts filled with worship and praise, recognizing that He is God, the one who saves us, the one who heals us, the one who delivers us. Waiting here. God, we're all waiting here this morning. We're waiting for You to pour out Your blessing on us.
So a lot of times in my life, I tend to make myself busy. I tend to take on more things than I probably should. And my wife probably hates it. I've missed certain things because of it. And because of that, I've learned how to use a planner. Sometimes I get so busy and so caught up in what I want to do and what I need to do that I forget to just be reminded of God and just to consider God through all things. And at times when I realize, like, whoa, what have I been doing? Like, I've been trying to do all this stuff on my own and not consider God. I stop and look and I sit there in awe and amazement that He's still there, and He's been waiting for me the whole time.
You are dismissed, first through fifth grade, to the back.
Shout! It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy.
God, help it to be the prayer of my heart, God, that no matter what I go through in this life, God, the trials, the tribulations, the failures, the defeat, God, that I can say, it is well with my soul. Sorrows like sea billows roll.
my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the
for this time that we have here together today. God, help that to be the prayer of all of our hearts, to understand that no matter what we go through in this life, God, you are refining us and shaping us into the people that you've destined for us to be. Whether trials, tribulations, failures, God, help us to always say, it is well with my soul, because I know, God, that you and you alone are in control. We praise you for all that you do, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Go.
Hola, buenos días. ¿Cómo están?
Bien, bien.
Muy bien, gracias. Okay, y vámonos al resumen. Esta semana vamos a empezar una nueva serie llamada La Doctrina de Disney, como pueden ver por el logotipo de Disney. Y vamos a tomar la verdad bíblica y la aplicación a la vida y a algunos de estos cuentos infantiles más queridos. Y empezamos esta semana con la historia de Pinocho. Y como todos saben, Pinocho tiene un dilema que trata de demostrar su valía para convertirse en un niño de verdad, mientras que es desviado por la tentación y la mentira. Y queremos relacionar este cuento a nuestras vidas y cómo luchamos por posesiones sin sentido y terminamos engañándonos a nosotros mismos y abandonamos la persona que Dios nos ha creado a ser. Entonces, por último es esto. Dios es fiel, Él nos da significado y nuestra eterna felicidad será con Él en el cielo.
Gracias, amigo. Thank you.
Obviously, you all would say that Paul wrote that intro in Spanish, not me. That was like, my three words and your three paragraphs. All about, that was just about today's message. We should have just pray and go home, I guess, you know? I'm hating That's on
me.
You. I know.
That's me.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Good job. Go ahead.
Thanks. Welcome this morning.
Cricket.
Welcome this morning. That's me. We're so happy that you're here and that you're here for the kickoff of our new series called Disney Doctrine. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking, Disney Doctrine, heresy. Hold up. Let me assure you, it's not going to be that. But what we're going to do, we're going to be taking biblical principles from Disney movies and then applying them to our life. So what we ask for is an open mind, okay? Not in relation to biblical truth or principles. You go ahead and be rigid about that and stout about what we've taught you. We won't falter from that, I guarantee that. But just have an open mind about how we make the connections from the movie to biblical principles and then finally to our life. With that being said, today we're going to look at the story of Pinocchio. So, it's funny because when
I
we...
I won't do this like I did in the first service. I won't do that. Okay?
You just did.
No, I won't do that. and I won't go...
He had all these sounds.
It's all done right now, okay? Now go ahead.
Thank you.
Last time I broke him up. This time it's all in one, okay. Yours.
So we started looking at the story of Pinocchio, right? Like, when we got together and we started picking the movies that we were going to do this, we're like, Pinocchio, done. Like, we know about Pinocchio. Like, we know the story of Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Nose grows. Bam. That's it, right?
Oh, you like the bam, huh? Okay, go ahead.
But what we found out was when we started, both of us watched it separately, and then we came back together. And the minute we walked together, we're like, dude, Pinocchio. Like, we had no idea about Pinocchio. Like, mind blown Pinocchio. Okay, so most people think nose. But I'm going to give you a brief overview of the story of Pinocchio. Okay? I promise it'll be brief.
Brief.
Thank you. I promise it'll be brief. Okay? So, the story of Pinocchio was actually a book, and it was written in the late 1800s. And then, And then it was made into a movie by Disney in about 1940. So it's about Geppetto, who's a woodworker, and he makes this marionette made of wood and names him Pinocchio. Now, he wants Pinocchio to be real so bad, and so he wishes on a star, the wishing star. Fairy comes down and animates Pinocchio. Pinocchio is led astray by Honest John into temptation and lies. And I think what we know about the story of Pinocchio, what we can honestly say that we know, I could probably ask all of you, and probably 99% of you are going to tell me, the nose, right?
See, you got sound too.
But mine's better.
Okay,
so,
all right.
To do the nose thing, right? Crazily enough, if you haven't watched it in a while, go back and watch it again. It doesn't even relate to the story, really, at all. Yeah, it's this small part of this gigantic picture, the nose thing. Geppetto goes looking for Pinocchio. He's like, Pinocchio's gone. Oh my gosh, he goes looking, gets swallowed up by a whale. So then it's up to Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket. Jiminy Cricket is Pinocchio's conscience. It's up to them to go and rescue Geppetto. Well, they end up rescuing Geppetto, and because of his bravery and unselfishness, and selflessness, I should say, that the fairy grants him his wish, and he becomes a real boy, and they live happily ever after. The story of Pinocchio.
Okay, I said this first service, so now it's not, but I'll let them know that some of you know his disdain, outright fear, outright terror of crickets.
That's just messed
crickets,
up.
Crickets, remember? So I told him in the first service that I had forgotten the box in my office, and I was going to get the box of crickets and put them on the stage out here. But the Pink Capo Club, our gals who play and sing back here, the Pink Capo Club, they said, you better not do that because it would not go over well with him. And so I refrained. Was good. I mean, that was a good thing, huh?
That's your conscience back there?
Yeah, that's Jiminy Cricket. Yeah, that's my conscience. Happily ever after. Does that ever even exist? I mean, think about that. Happily ever after. The story's in and they lived happily ever after. I know it does in the Disney world, but does it exist in the real life, in this world? Geppetto looked out his window as they were going to bed that night. He had made Pinocchio. He was wooden and had the marionettes, and he had done the little dance. Geppetto looks out, and he sees this bright star, and the name of that star is the Wishing Star. He sees the Wishing Star. He made a wish, and that wish was that Pinocchio was a real boy. The theme song to the movie, remember, when you wish upon a star, make your dreams come true. I don't think so. Just because we wish upon a star doesn't mean that our dreams are coming true. We would like to think that. Many think if we just hold good thoughts, good things are going to happen. Happily ever after, only in the worlds of Disney. And yet that night, the blue fairy comes. She comes down from the wishing star. She says that since Geppetto has brought such joy and happiness to so many people, he deserves to have his wish come true. So Pinocchio was given a form of life, but wasn't given fully alive. To become fully alive, he had to prove himself worthy. How? The blue fairy gave him three things: by being brave, truthful, and selfish, and unselfish. And he had to choose correctly between right and wrong. And that's where he says, how do I know what's right and wrong? And Jiminy Cricket became his conscience. The blue fairy makes Jiminy Cricket his conscience. So you will help him to know that which is right from wrong. Now, in some ways, we are no different than this fairy tale. It's interesting to me as you take some of the earlier stories, the analogies that you can find, even in slight veil forms, of some of our fairy tales that we write, and then how there's some elements of that we will even find in the Word. But in some ways, we're no different. Today, we still think in many ways that to be fully alive, we have to have this or go for that. You're going to talk about comparison, killing, contentment, that we look at this. If I'm going to be fully alive, I need to own this, have this, be this, dress this way, look this way, all these things. Even spiritually, some of you believe that to be fully alive spiritually, you have to have some special gift of the Holy Spirit, or you have to get on the treadmill and do good works, and you've got to be that good thing, because if you're not, you're not going to get that wish come true. The happily ever after of heaven is somehow built upon you doing all these things and running this race and stepping on the treadmill, and you got to go to church more. You don't pray enough. If you're not good enough, give enough. We'll let that one go. Give all you want. The issue of helping enough, of being a servant and working in the nursery or coming to church, that heaven will be your happily ever after if in the grand scheme of things you are just good enough. Mm. Happily ever after. See, there was another star. That wasn't the wishing star. It's not in the story of Pinocchio. It was in the Word, and it was the truth star. And that truth star announced the birth of a real boy, a Savior, who would bring life to all who believe. Good news, which will bring great joy for all people. It wasn't about earning life. It was about accepting the gift of life. A gift. Nothing that we could work for or earn, or nothing that we deserve because we had been such a good boy or good person. John 14, chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yet the world bombards us daily, with input that says we need more. You say, why are you looking at Disney? Because your kids and you are watching Disney, and it doesn't matter just Disney. We're using that as just an entrance into, but some of the issues that are even contained in the principles of life, contained in some of the things that we watch, we will just kind of subconsciously adapt to those things and think that's what really life is all about. And it bombards us, but to have life, and it says you must do this and you must do that. And listen, today as we start this series, what's most important, more important than anything else, is to have life and have it spiritually, is realize you must know the Lord as your Savior. It's not about going to this church. It's not about doing good things. It's not about looking good and you're all dialed in. You're all, man, spick and span. Good thoughts, you know, all these things. You have many opportunities to do that, but you may still not know the Lord as your Savior. And it's about the star that announces the birth of a Savior who came to be born, to die for you, to rise again, and he rose again, that we might have life and have it to the fullest. And today you must know that. And if you don't know the Lord today, you can be in this church. Some of you have been here and you seek and you seek and you seek and you come. Every service we have some of these people who just, okay, I don't know. Take that step of faith, believe, because that is what brings life and life to the full. Now, in the story of Pinocchio, he wanted to be real. And she set out, the wishing star said, these are the things you must do to be real, to be fully alive. And it created a dilemma, a huge dilemma. No gift, a dilemma.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pinocchio had a dilemma that I think all of us deal with on some level. Pinocchio was not satisfied with who he was made to be at that at that point. He desired to be real. He desired to have significance. Even though he could walk and he could talk and do things a regular person could do, that didn't, it didn't, you know, he wasn't satisfied with that. That didn't quench him. He still wanted to prove that he was worthy of being real. I can relate to this story on several levels. Growing up, I wanted so many things for myself. I can remember at one point I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. And I wanted to work on the most complex thing that was on this planet that we knew of, the human mind. I wanted to take that challenge and I wanted to overcome it. I wanted to defeat it. Something along the line, somewhere it changed for me. And I can't pinpoint exactly when that happened, but I have old drawings and stories that I used to write. I found one just yesterday that talks about me as Dr. Pelizzeri, the neurosurgeon. But it wasn't, yeah, you want me working on your brain? No. Yeah. But it's funny, it wasn't about the fame. I mean, neurosurgeons aren't famous, but it wasn't about the money either. It was all about the challenge for me. When we look at the story of Pinocchio, we see a wooden boy who's stopped on his way to school by Honest John, who tells him, "You don't need to go to school. No, man, go to the theater. Become an actor." He tells Pinocchio, "I can show you what is called the easy road to success." I remember when we were watching it, and it came up with the easy road to success. I'm like, oh, man, here we go. I'm not going to let that go. Fame and fortune, he offers him everything that he wants to hear. All he has to do, show up, be himself, and then let the riches roll in. Matthew 26:41 says this, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Pinocchio sees this as the easy way, so he goes with Honest John against the advice of his conscience, against the advice of Jiminy Cricket. Now, earlier in the movie, Jiminy Cricket tells Pinocchio about temptation. He's like, "Hey, listen, there's going to be temptation." Da, da, da. Then he says, right at that moment, he calls him Pinocchio. "Pinocchio, you remember when I talked to you about temptation?" And Pinocchio's like, "Ah, that is what I'm talking about." And he points right at Honest John. "That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was telling you about." Pinocchio's like, "Yeah, whatever." And just goes off, doesn't listen, and goes to the theater to be a star. It was really easy for Pinocchio to be tempted because they were telling him everything that he wanted to hear. Fame, money, fortune, without having to work at it at all. The easy road. The easy road. I think some of us, a lot of us want that. We're like, "Ah, man, the easy road." It's why there's so many quick fixes and get-rich-quick schemes out there. But if you really dig deep, you'll see that they're exactly that. They're schemes. I've never seen a scheme in anything that I've done that hasn't barreled over someone else in its path, whether it's network marketing or whether it's this or this or this, that hasn't barreled over somebody else. And so I equate that to my life when I looked at working for something, working at something with all my might, when I actually extended it out and saw all the work it was going to take, I thought, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to find something else. What else can I do where there's not going to be a lot of work involved but still have money and fame? So I started playing music. I decided to switch. Something that would allow me to keep living the lifestyle that I was growing accustomed to. No change, no real intense effort, just success. I realized that in my quest to become relevant, my quest to have fortune, that I had lost myself. The fun-loving person that I grew up as, that there's so many pictures of me as, like that. It was like overnight was changed into an angry and mean person that pretty much only cared about himself. That was me. All I cared about was me. I wanted so desperately to be metal, to be not like, it's a term, you know, where you're hardcore, you're metal. I wanted so bad.
Is that like the term sick?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Okay. I wanted so bad to be seen as someone that I forsook everything and I became somebody that I hated because I thought I had to be that person. Mm. I look back on myself back then and I can literally look back on myself with hatred of who the person that I was. I know Pinocchio because when he says, you can just go to the theater and become an actor. Hi. Did that for 10 years. 7 days a week for 10 years. I acted. I acted because that's who I thought was the best version of me. I perfected it pretty much. I mean, dude, let me tell you what. If there was an Oscar for that, I probably would have got it. I'm telling you. When I look at the story of Pinocchio, I can relate to it on several levels, as I know many of you probably can as well. I was trying to take the easy road to success, forsaking everything, abandoning everything that I had known in a quest for significance, whether that was found in money, whether that was found in popularity or fame. Did you know that Pinocchio gets taken to Pleasure Island? This was unbeknownst to me, actually. When I was watching it, they're like, we're going to go to Pleasure Island. I'm like, Pleasure Island? What? Like, what is this? Well, it's an island where all the misfit boys go, and there's no rules. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want to do it. But it's not all that it's cracked up to be, because there's a consequence for living that way. They're turned into donkeys, and then they're sold to the highest bidder. And this is a point that I'm just making now in my head. They became slaves to that lifestyle. Don't become a slave to that lifestyle, to your sin. There was a consequence. It sounds great in theory, Pleasure Island. And I think there's a lot of times when some of us will go through and we just want to be free from the chains. We're just like, get these rules off me. I just break free for a minute and let me do my own thing. Let me just do my own thing for a minute. And Judges 21:25 talks about that. It says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Israel was like that at one point. Who's king of this country? Who's king? We got a lot of differing opinions, and the ones that say, God is king, are being pushed down. Shut up. We don't want to hear that. Go away. And all of a sudden, we're getting to a point where, well, we're just going to do whatever we think is right. Which is why when you look in the Bible and you see the definition of truth in the Bible, it says, whatever we agree is true. Really? What gives us the right? Apparently, we do. We give ourselves the right, which again outlines our infirmed case so clearly, that condition that we have so clearly. Luke 12:15 says this, and he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. How many of our lives consist in the abundance of our possessions? If you're honest with yourself, do you fall into that category? We strive for more and more and more and more, and it's never enough because we're not satisfied with all the things that we have. My wife and I cleaned out our garage on yesterday, and we started at like 9, and we're like, it'll be a couple hours, we'll be done. 6 o'clock we got done. So much stuff in there. So much stuff we didn't need. Just a collection of stuff. Now, I'm a pack rat. 90% of it was mine. I'm just going to tell you right now. Understand it. I'm a pack rat. But
she only had flip-flops.
Yeah, that's it. Most of the stuff was insignificant. But significant to me because, that's who I am, all this stuff. And as I started getting rid of it, I felt like a freedom. Like, get it away. I didn't want any of it. Comparison kills contentment. And some of us will never find contentment because we cannot stop comparing ourselves to every single person. Let me tell you something, and I'm not trying to be mean or to push you down, but there will always be somebody that has more money than you. There will always be somebody that's more popular than you. But let me tell you what, there's never going to be anybody that's more loved than you by God. Because he loves you that much. My personal Pinocchio story consists of a life lived for the abundance of my possessions. It speaks to a life that was lived for personal gain and a quest for relevance. One that abandoned working hard with all my might, trying to find the easiest way to go through life on cruise control, living the high life. Listen to me. You cannot honor God that way. You cannot honor God living your life that way. Matthew 6:24 says this. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." When I first became a Christian, it's been well chronicled up here. I've told you guys about it. Yeah, we went through some hardships. But when we started getting money, my wife knows this, but I go into something I call super save mode. And I'm like, every penny that we can will be saved. We will not tithe. We will not give to anybody. We will save every single penny. Why? I have got to know that there's at least $500 in the account because I won't be able to sleep. We have to have that security. God is my foundation. And God is my security. It took me a while to really understand that. Every time that I say, I find my security in money, I'm saying, God, I don't serve you. I serve money. And I've made it an idol. And I've bowed down. And I've worshipped it. It's the condition of man. The human condition. What we want it now. And we don't want anybody to tell us how to do it. We want to do it ourselves. With our own strength. Listen, who God made me to be was not good enough for me. So I decided to upgrade, to try to upgrade. Yet I wanted to use as little effort as possible. Does that sound right to you? That's crazy talk. It's exactly what it was. Ephesians 2:10. This is a well-known verse. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Just like Pinocchio was created exactly as he was supposed to be for that period in his life, so are you. Listen to me carefully. You are a masterpiece. God does not make mistakes. And He did not make one when He made you. So be true to God. Be true to yourself, because there is no better version of you than the one that God made. Live into that, not what into the world says that you can or should be, or what your friends or your family say that you can or you should be, because most often God will not be involved either in the process or in the final outcome. Our condition is one that would like to leave God on the back burner, to shove Him away and to pretend like He doesn't exist, to do things our way, in our time, with our strength. Our sin nature causes us to do things that we know we shouldn't do in our heart of hearts, like we know we shouldn't do them, but we do them anyway. Just like Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket's like, "Don't! Temptation, this is exactly what I'm telling you about." And he's like, "No, I got this. I'll be fine." When we lie to God, then we lie to Him. We're like, the only one that knows us. Man, I wish we were like Pinocchio in the fact of that every time we tried to lie, that our wooden noses would grow. Not just when we're caught in a lie, but every time we tried to lie, every time we tried to deceive, that our noses would grow. Some of us be walking around with a tree hanging off the front of our faces. We aren't that lucky. I suppose we're not that lucky, but let me tell you, in the grand scheme of things, you're caught dead in the water every single time you try to lie, because the one that knows all is the one you're trying to... He's going, "I know. I know your true intentions." Even if you're trying to trick yourself, He's like, "I know your true intentions. You can't lie to me." Pinocchio's dilemma is our dilemma. It's our story in a lot of ways. The more we try to minimize our condition and push it into the background, the bigger and stronger it becomes. We have to bring it to the forefront to shed light on it so that it does not consume us, because it will. You will be a slave to your sin and it will consume you. Most of the story, Pinocchio is walking around with his head in the clouds, oblivious, so naive, unaware of his actions or the ramifications of the things that he's doing until it's too late. Will we be the same?
I think it's interesting you mentioned walking around with your head in the clouds, because I watched this again as Pinocchio starts, when he's headed to school, he's clippity-clopping along. But as the story goes and he gets taken by the theater and he gets taken by the boys, darkness and his countenance falls. And when you're trying to be somebody that you're not, it affects our countenance, it affects our joy. But there are some constants in the story of Pinocchio. There are some constants that we see. Number one was the love of his creator. Geppetto loved Pinocchio. And when Pinocchio wasn't at school, what did Geppetto do? He went looking for him. He went to find him. He went to search for him. Ended up getting swallowed by the whale, and Pinocchio has to be brave and unselfish. But let me tell you, there's a truth to that. And today, your creator loves you. And today, your creator is calling you. If you don't have life today in him, he's calling you to trust in him. But beyond that, he's calling us, for those who do know him, to have life and have it to the fullest. John 10, which we use often, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Honest John wants to take away your life. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it to the fullest. Happily ever after, I realize we talk about heaven and one day we're going to be there. That's our happily ever after. Things aren't always happy here. But this verse also speaks to the fact that eternal life is not just a quantity of time. Eternal life just isn't that we're going to live forever. Every person here will live forever. The issue of eternal life is a quality of life, which he promises to those of us in 2 Corinthians who are changed immediately. And today we need to be living as who we are and as whose we are. Who we are found in Christ, that we are forgiven, redeemed, justified. That all that we are, the love of the Creator has called us. He seeks us, and when we give our life to him, we live as who we are. In him. Knowing, as Romans 8 says, that nothing can separate us from his love. Nothing. Significance and our purpose in life are only found in what he says about you.
Yeah.
And yet today, you'll freak out about 5 or 6 o'clock tonight when you realize, I go to work tomorrow, oh no. You'll go to work and we'll try to please everybody and be everything to everybody and try to assimilate all of that. And yet what we need to realize, there's only one we need to please, because the one who created us knows us. And our purpose and our significance is not found in all those things. It's found in what he says about us. Mm-hmm. Quit looking to the world to find significance. Students, quit looking to those around you. Quit looking to what the people say is going to make you significant and give you purpose. Look to what God says about you. The love of the world will ultimately keep you from knowing and loving and understanding all that God has for you. There is a happily ever after. Yes, there will be happy, and that's when we're in heaven. But even now, to live our life with purpose and significance is to know who we are in Christ. To know that you do not have to step on the treadmill and try to be good enough. You don't have to fight that battle of saying, okay, I got to go out and prove that I'm brave and I'm unselfish and I'm trustworthy and good. Mm-hmm. He says, listen, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. It's a gift. You never can be worthy of it. That's the beauty of it. I'm never worthy of it. We looked at the armor of God and he said, I've given you my righteousness, imputed righteousness, imparted to you. It's not about us, it's about him.
Can I add one thing?
You sure can.
In the story of Pinocchio, it's amazing that Geppetto's out looking everywhere, and Pinocchio basically abandoned him. Pinocchio's like, I'm going to go and do my own thing, whatever, whatever. And he comes back, and he grabs Pinocchio, and he holds him tight, and he goes, where were you, and what have you done? And Pinocchio starts talking, he goes, wait, I don't care. I don't care where you have been or what you've done. All I care is that you're right here, right now.
Good ending. Pray for us.
Absolutely. God, we just thank you for this time, Father. We just thank you for the story of Pinocchio, God, and how we can use it to make life application from your truth, God. Always from your truth, Father. We just thank you so much, God, that you always welcome us with open arms to come home to you, God. And you don't care who we think we are, who we've been, or what we've done. God, you say, just be still. Know that I'm God. Come to me. I'm sitting here waiting for with open arms, God. And if there are those here who do not know you, God, that you would just stir in their hearts and their minds, God, that you would help them to make a decision, God, to give their life to you, God, everything that they are, understanding that there is a happily ever after, God, that there is a plan, Father, and it's a perfect one made by the perfect being, and that is you, God. So we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can do these crazy things, God, and still have truth, timeless, unparalleled wisdom and truth, God, and it's from you. So we thank you for that, and we pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Again, thank you for being here with us today. If God's moved in your heart, it may be nothing that we've talked about. It may just be from being together. But if God, if you'd like to pray with someone, Don and Venetia are over there. They'd love to pray with you about any decision you may have made. Inside the room, there's some prayer cards. If you'd like to fill out a prayer request and drop it in the box in there, we as a staff can pray for you this week. Thanks for being here. For those of you who give every week, thank you so much for what you do. The boxes are available. We just appreciate it. We can't thank you enough. Just for your generosity and your giving as well. If you're in the nursery and toddler division, we're going to have a meeting right after church. Sign up out front as well. Remember, as you leave, don't just rush out of here. Give somebody a hug. If you see somebody you don't know, go introduce them to you. Make sure you notice people today. Notice them. Have a great day. Blessings.